We welcome you back. Torah 101 Daily. The blessings of the Torah be upon you today. From the Siddur, the ancient book of Jewish prayer. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and has commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Please, Adonai, our God, sweeten the words of your Torah in our mouth and in the mouth of your people, the family of Israel. And that is my prayer for all of you listening today. May he sweeten the words of his Torah in our mouth today. I want to continue to encourage you to send in questions that may come up in your mind about the study, and I would be happy to answer those questions here on the podcast. You can just email them to us through our website, Torah101daily.com. or through our Facebook page, Torah 101 Daily. Parsha Vayishlach, he sent, again looking at the encounter between Jacob and Esau. After Yaakov wrestled with the angel of the Lord, we pick up the study in Genesis 33, verse 6. Then the slave girls approached with their children, and they prostrated themselves. Leah, too, and her children approached and prostrated themselves. And last came Joseph and Rachel, and they prostrated themselves. It's been pointed out that the women, or the mothers, would come before the children and bow down before Esau. But when it came to Rachel and Joseph, Joseph comes out first ahead of his mother. The ancient sages believing that Joseph was seeking to protect his mother from Esau, because of her beautiful appearance, he wanted to guard her from the eye of Esau. And so we see early on a special character trait in this young Joseph that we're going to see develop much more profoundly later in his story. Verse 8, Esau asked, "What was the meaning of this procession of droves I encountered?" And he answered, Jacob did, "It was to win my Lord's favor." Esau replied, "I have plenty already, my brother. Keep your possessions for yourself." Now this seems that Esav is acknowledging Jacob's right to the blessing, that Jacob has a right to all of this wealth and all of these possessions. Verse 10, Yaakov said, "No, please, if now I have won your favor, then accept my gift. Just seeing your face has been like seeing the face of God, now that you have received me." It is an ancient Talmudic legend that the angel of Adonai that Jacob wrestled with was in fact the guardian angel of Esav, who took on the appearance of Esav. Hence, Yaakov mentioning that the face of Esav is like seeing the face of God. So please accept the gift I have brought you, verse 11. For God has dealt kindly with me, and I have enough. Thus he urged him until he accepted it. Notice the difference in each brother and how they express that they are satisfied with their possessions on this earth. Back in verse 9, Esau said, I have plenty already. But notice in verse 11, Jacob says, God has dealt kindly with me and I have enough. Simple little detail here, but it produces a huge difference in a person's life. The acknowledging that God is the one that has given us everything we have, dealing with us in kindness, and therefore we're satisfied. Yeshua would later say that we were never intended to live off of physical bread, physical possessions, but we are intended to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Adonai. Verse 12, Esav said, let's break camp and get going. I'll go first. Yaakov said to him, my Lord knows that the children are small and the sheep and cattle suckling their young concern me, because if they overdrive them even one day, all the flocks will die. Instead, please, let my Lord go on ahead of his servant. I will travel more slowly at the pace of the cattle ahead of me and at the pace of the children until I come to my Lord in Seir, where Esav dwelt at that point. So Esav wanting to travel now with Yaakov, but Yaakov is reluctant. It's enough, it seems, that he reconciles with Esav and Esav doesn't kill him, but it seems that the two are not destined to be joined together as family. Now, Jacob sort of uses the excuse that his children are too young and his animals are too involved in the nursing of their young that he can't keep up with Esav and Esav's troops. So Yaakov encourages Esav to just move on ahead of them and go at his own pace. Until I come to my Lord in Seir. Now, Yaakov will not go to Seir. But there is a prophecy in Obadiah chapter 1, verse 21, that someday in the kingdom of the Messiah, that the victorious will ascend Mount Zion to rule over Mount Esau. But the kingship will belong to Adonai. Some believe that this was a reference to the days of the Messiah, when the families of Jacob, the people of Israel, will then sit in their proper authority with the Messiah, and in a symbolic way, Esau will be judged at Seir. Verse 15, Esau replied, then let me leave with you some of the people I have with me. But Yaakov said, there's no need for my Lord to be so kind to me. So Esau left that day to return to Seir. Yaakov went on to Sukkot, where he built himself a house. This is a village named Sukkot, where he built himself a house and put up shelters for his cattle. And this is why the place is called Sukkot, which means shelters. Having traveled from Paddan Aram, Yaakov arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan and set up camp near the city. From the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, he bought for 100 pieces of silver the parcel of land where he had pitched his tent. And there he put up an altar, which he called El Elohe Yisrael, which means God, the God of Israel. So like his grandfather before him, Yaakov establishes his presence in the land of Canaan by acknowledging his God, the God of Israel. Now, speaking of himself, this altar is named after God, but he's now the God of Israel, not the God of Jacob any longer. He identifies himself with his new name and his new person. God, the God of Israel. This is Torah 101 Daily.